in whatever role I fill, whether it's a father, husband, church leader, whatever it might be, that God would lead and guide and direct. And that's been my prayer, and it'll continue to be my prayer as I journey through life. And as I was saying, as Josh alluded to, for you, for those of you that are visitors, in serving as a pastor here, I have asked for some time to take a break and just step back from ministry, to be able to spend more time just focusing on my family and not have to not have the investment of time into ministry that I've had for the past 7 years, and just be able to spend time with them. It's not that there's problems or any issues or anything in the church. I am so blessed with the ministry team that I get to work with the church family that I have here, and that's part of what I want to share this morning. And so I'm not stepping back as a result of anything within our church family, but rather it's just I've just requested a time off, 8 months. I'm going to be planning on coming back, the Lord willing, the end of January, beginning of February, and continuing role as a pastor here. But I've just asked for some time to be able to step back from the work of the ministry and spend more time with my family. And we're going to be looking at spending some time together, maybe visiting some other churches just to see how they do things, to get ideas and stuff for in anticipation of coming back, and probably doing some camping. We're planning a trip to Canada beginning of August, heading up into the Maritime provinces, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and then heading over west, over through Quebec City, and over into Dryden, where I spent most of my growing up years. Would like to show the girls some of the area that I grew up in and some of the things that we did, and just spend some time there together as a family, and then head back. So we go on for about 2 or 2.5 weeks on that trip. So just a little bit of a heads up of what our plans are. Would also like to take some time to do some other reading and some things like that, and we'll see, some other personal time. Some one of my plans is to do some solitude time during this time away and just spend some time with God, just really seeking His face and wanting to hear from Him. So that's some of my goals. I've also, I don't know how many of you have heard of Kevin's Griner's group of men that go up into New York and the Adirondacks for a few days, and I've asked if I can go along with them on their group up there. I will be going the beginning of October for a few days on that as well. So just a few things that are happening during my time off, just to kind of give you a little bit of a perspective. And I welcome your questions and things as we go through this time. But yes, Lord willing, planning on coming back at the beginning of February. And I would just like to thank you as a congregation for your affirmation in allowing me to do this and spend some time with my family. I was thinking about the ministry, and you know, there's a lot for me that's rewarding. And I don't begrudge, is that the word I want? But I don't regret being called into the ministry. There's a lot of rewarding. There is a lot of work. There's a lot of hard work. And there is times that are tough. But there's a lot of rewarding work in ministry that I find enjoyable, and I find it rewarding. And it's easy for me to let some of those things consume my time. And as I look back over the 7 years, I really do feel like the person that's probably sacrificed the most have been my children in having their dad be a minister. And there's things that I would definitely do differently if I could go back. And as I come back again at the end of my sabbatical, there's things that I want to try to do differently as a dad in making sure that my children know that they are more important. And I think that's where it should be, because God has called me to them as a ministry first, but He has called me also here to serve as a minister. And I admit, the battle with work and church and family, it gets tough to know how to, what takes priority and how to divide up time and how to keep family as priority so that they know that they are loved and cared about. And so I want to work at some of those things. But I want to be able to give back into their life in the next months that lie ahead here. But as I thought of this morning and what to share this morning, as I stand before you, I feel like my thoughts on this message are still kind of unsettled. But I've chosen a passage of Scripture from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. For some of you, you know where that came from, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and Paul here is writing a letter to a church that he visited twice on his missionary journeys. It's in northern Greece, I believe, is the location. And twice on his second missionary journey, he went there. That was his first visit. Church began and got started. He went there on his third missionary visit and had friends. And this church was very important, very dear to Paul. And so he wrote a couple letters to them of instruction and letters of encouragement. And so I want to read that here this morning and take a couple thoughts from that. Let's stand as we read God's word together. 2 Thessalonians 1, whole way through to verse 12. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which are manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for your letter. And Father, this is your word. And I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears and our minds to see and to understand and to live out what you are calling us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, as he's writing this letter, I didn't do a lot of background into the letter to the Thessalonians, but as he's writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica, and he begins this letter with a typical greeting that he uses in a lot of his letters, that he is wishing them, that he is wishing for them that they could experience and know and realize in their life the grace and peace of God. And thinking of the grace of God, I think I know we experience the grace of God in so many ways, and the grace has been described in a lot of different ways. We can describe grace as receiving things that we don't deserve. And we have, in salvation, in forgiveness of our sins. None of us deserves that. But God, out of His grace, has given us the privilege of a relationship with Him. And the peace of knowing that our sins are forgiven. And that we can have that relationship restored and we can have fellowship with Almighty God. Holy Almighty God. It's amazing. It's an amazing gift of grace that we have that we don't deserve. It's also described as the unmerited favor of God. And I had to think of God showing us His favor in a lot of different ways. In answered prayer, someone was just sharing with me this week how that they, actually it was their wife, prayed for something and in the prayer actually felt kind of selfish in praying this prayer. And she was like, well, it seems kind of weird. But it was it was not that long after she had prayed when the phone rang, and the very thing that she prayed about was taking place, was being carried out by brothers and sisters around her. And just an amazing example of God answering a prayer request, however small or insignificant it was, and maybe unnecessary, and maybe even felt kind of selfish to the person praying, but yet God answered that prayer and was showing His grace, very real, to that person in answering that prayer. But in all the good things that we enjoy in life, should remind us of the grace of God. God created our world, and as He was done creating it, He said it was very good. God created a very good world for man to live in, and Satan has done a very good job at destroying that through sin and bringing in all kinds of pain and destruction into the very good world that God created. But as we look around us and as we enjoy beauty, it should remind us of the grace of God that He showers on us in allowing us to enjoy the beauty of the flowers, of the springtime flowers, the beauty of the colors in our world. Even as we look outside and we see the green and the yellows and occasionally the blue sky. But it's a gift of God's grace and God's goodness to us. And as we sit down for our lunch, as we go home and we sit down and we enjoy the taste of the good food and the people around our table, it's evidence of the grace of God in our lives being poured out in so many different ways. And that's Paul's prayer, that God's grace would be realized. And grace has also been described as divine enablement. That as we face challenges, as we face situations, that God gives us the strength and the ability that we need to go through those and to remain faithful. And He helps us on our journey. He gives us the grace that we need, divine enablement, to go through the tough times. He also prays for them. He also wishes them the blessing of peace. And again, we've heard this before, but we can think of peace. And as we're thinking of peace, I guess our trip to Canada brought this to my mind, but as I think of a peaceful setting, you know, I remember times by the lake up in Dryden, down on our dock, and the lake was as smooth as glass, and we could look out across and see the reflection of the sunset or whatever it was, and usually it was in the evening when it was that peaceful and calm, but you could see it was just, the setting was just serene, except for the mosquitoes, of course. But it was just, there was just a calmness and there was just a peace, and it was so beautiful to see God's creation. But that is peace. But what about when the storm comes the next day and there's lightning and thunder and the trees are whipping in the wind? Is there peace in a setting like that? There can be. God's peace. Peace is not the absence of the storm, but peace is a calm inside, even when the storm is raging outside. And it is through the times of testing, I believe, that we learn. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, but we learn more about faith in God. And as our faith grows, I believe that our peace inside grows in those times of testing and the challenging times that we face. The peace inside us can grow as well, because we can learn to rely on a God that's in control. In spite of the storm that's going on outside, that we can experience a peace inside. It's interesting to note, that as we look over the calm lake, we had float planes out on the lake, and the pilots, when they would take off on their floats, they actually did not like the calm. It was much more difficult for a pilot to get out of the water and to get airborne from a lake when flying off of a lake if there was no wind. A pilot would much rather have the adversity of a wind in his face to lift him off of that lake. It was much easier for him to take off if there was a wind that he could take off into. So, of course, that's the way airplanes work. But I had to think of that in my own life. You know, the testing and the growing and the experiencing really of peace, of an inner peace, and knowing the reality of God's presence, we can, you know, it's neat when life is going well and we can just kind of float along. But what's really neat and what's really meaningful is when we can go through difficult times, and in spite of what might be going on inside, we can still experience the peace that is inside, that's not reflective of what else might be going on in life. But there's still a calmness, and we can know the reality. That's where God's presence is real. So much more so, I've found in my life, so much more so than when the whole life is all serene. But when I can know that in spite of the difficulties, that God is there and I can trust Him, that's what peace is. And that was Paul's wish, I believe, for the church here because of what they were going through. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. And Paul says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is able to really give peace, the one who's really able to do that." As we think of God's grace and God and the peace, and we look at the life of Jesus, and we see Jesus saying that He is coming so that people can experience the grace. He's coming to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. And we see the grace that people experienced as He was here, as He brought healing to many that were sick and set people free from demons. It was a work of God's grace in doing that in their lives. And the grace that we experience and the grace that Paul was wishing for and praying for that the church in Thessalonica would experience was a gift from that same God that calmed the storm, that brought peace in the middle of the storm, that gave gifts of grace and healing. And it's my wish for you this morning, as I want to bless you this morning in my message. I want to bless you, and I also want to challenge you. And my wish of blessing for you this morning is that you could experience the reality of knowing, realizing the grace of God at work in your life. That the things that you see, the things that you experience remind you of His goodness, and that in the difficult times that you could experience the reality of His peace. His presence that's there as you go through tough times. I don't know. I know a bit of what some of you face and the challenges and the difficulties. I don't know all of you, what all is going on in all of your situations. But whatever it is, I want to wish you an experience of the grace and peace of God, wherever your journey in life is taking you and whatever you're experiencing. Paul goes on to say in this letter to the Thessalonians, he says, "I thank God always for you, brethren." And he mentions a couple things, three different things here in this letter that I'd like to point out. First of all, he mentions that he is thanking God because of their growth in faith. I don't know how Paul kept in contact with this church, but somehow evidently he found out things that were going on in the lives of people. And the things that he found out or heard were confirmations to him that this church was growing spiritually, and that they were serving God faithfully, and that there was evidence of spiritual growth in whatever ways he learned. And you know, as a pastor, you know, it's such a joy to see growth in people's lives and to see people walking with God and to hear their testimonies. And you know, sometimes as a pastor, it's difficult to be patient and to say, man, I'd like to see some more growth. Can't you hurry it up a bit? Can't we stick them in the microwave, God, and make things happen a little quicker? But to be patient and allow the Spirit to work, and then to see how God is working in the lives of people and to hear ways that He is touching hearts and to see people sharing things that God is doing in their lives and to see growth, to see them get involved and have a greater passion for God and to see those things. And I thank God as I see that in you all, as I watch you journey and I see God at work, and I'm thankful for what He is doing and how He is bringing us along in our journey. And I want to bless you in that as you journey, as you walk with God, and as you continue to grow. May He guide you, and may He direct you. May He take you to the places that you need to go so that your faith can grow exceedingly. And I want to bless you in your growth and in your journey. He also says that he is blessing, he is thanking God that their faith grows exceedingly and that the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. And I believe that this kind of love that Paul's talking about is one of the evidence of spiritual growth. As people are willing to lay aside their own self-interest and focus on the needs and interests of others, it's evidence of growth in their life. And I know that Paul goes on to say that he boasts about them in the churches of God for their patience and faith. But I know that there have been times that I've been talking with other pastors and they've been talking about some of the difficulties maybe in their churches. And I have said already, I'm very thankful for our church family because I feel like, for the most part, we can work together in unity. We're not perfect. And there's room to grow in relationships and in closeness and things like that. But that's not what I'm saying. But for overall, as a church family, we can work together. We can do things like the Christmas pageant together. And we can get along. And we can have a good time together doing things like that. And we can work on developing those relationships. And we can do summer Bible school and kids club and things like that. And it's neat to see the church functioning together in those settings and to see people working together and getting along and the unity and the love. And even as I hear, you know, I hear about, you know, there's difficulties, maybe someone's having a difficulty over here, and I hear of people behind the scenes coming and taking meals or whatever it might be. And I'm so blessed to hear that happening. To me, it's evidence of growth. And I want to bless you as you meet needs and as you demonstrate love and care for each other. It's exciting for me as a pastor to hear and to see that taking place in our congregation, in our church family. And I want to thank you as you work and as you care for each other. I pray that God will bless you for it, for the sacrifices that you make as you invest in each other's lives. And it blesses me to hear those things happening within our church family. And I want to bless you and encourage you to keep on caring for each other, showing love to each other. It's an important part of church family life. And he also praises them for their perseverance in spite of difficulties. And in this situation, they were being persecuted for their faith. I don't know what all that meant, but they were suffering as a result of their choice to follow Christ and to be identified with Christ. And we don't, none of us probably are facing that. We face probably very limited amounts of that. But that doesn't take away from some of the tough things that we as a church, in our church family, face. There are different ones that are facing challenges within their families, within their own personal lives. And I want to commend and bless you, those that are facing challenges, for your perseverance, for your faithfulness in keeping on going and keep in desiring God to continue the work that He's doing. In spite of the difficulties, in spite of the challenges that you're facing, and I want to encourage you and bless you for remaining faithful, and I want to encourage you to continue in that struggle. And I bless you for the evidence of your faith and perseverance in the personal struggles that you face. And so, like Paul, I do thank God for you, and I want to bless you and encourage you in your spiritual growth, in your love and care for each other, and for continuing to persevere through difficult times. And the challenge that I want to leave with you is from a phrase that is found here a couple times in this passage that Paul uses, and that is that we, in the end, when Christ comes again, that we can be counted worthy. And I don't think this is from God's perspective, because when we become a Christian and we accept Christ and we come to faith, God accepts us. And we don't have to work to prove to God that, we don't have to work to make ourselves acceptable to God or to prove that we're somebody. God knows our hearts. But I believe what Paul is talking about here as far as being counted worthy is that is not from God's perspective necessarily, but there is a world and there is a spiritual realm that is watching and that is looking on at God's program and what God is doing. And it's interesting, as we look at the life of Job, we see that happening. And God, Job, Satan came to God and he accused Job before God. And he said, Job isn't really the man of faith that you think he is. I'm putting this in my own words here. But Job is only serving you because of the blessings that you put in his life. It's not really his faith that's motivating him, but it's because of the blessings that you give him. That's why he's serving you. And God said, go ahead, test Job. See what he's made of. See if his faith is genuine. Because God has promised blessings for a family of faith that follows him. And here, as in the church in Thessalonica, I'm sure they had a lot of questions as to why God was allowing suffering. Why was God allowing persecution? What was his point? And I believe that God was testing, God was allowing the genuineness of their faith to be tested, so that it was proof to all those that are watching, the physical and the spiritual realm, that their faith was indeed genuine, that they did have faith in a God that's in control. They did have faith in a God that was good, and a God that one day will make things right. And even though they lived in a broken, fallen world, they believed and they had faith in a God that this was what they were going through was not out of his control, but he knew and he was there. And so God was allowing their faith to be tempted, so that when Christ comes and these people are part of his kingdom, that God's judgment in bringing these people of faith into his kingdom, that God is shown as righteous. These people did have faith, and their faith was exemplified through the tough times that they went through. It was validated. It was affirmed that they were people of faith and they were part of God's kingdom. And that God is indeed a righteous judge in rewarding his people of faith. Because if God And if God is not a righteous judge in rewarding the faithful, how can we count on Him to be a righteous judge when it comes to dealing with the wicked? But God is righteous. He does reward the faith that is exemplified in our life, that is lived out through the difficult times. It is rewarded in the end. And because God is righteous, He rewards the faithful, but He also punishes the wicked. And we can trust that His judgment will be just, and that one day He will bring rest to His people. In verses 6 and 7, he talks about God bringing tribulation on those who are persecuting them, those who are troubling them. And God, because of His justice, because He's a righteous God, He is going to bring peace to His people in that time. They are going to experience peace. One day, Christ is going to come again, and when He does, He will reward those who are faithful, and He will mete out punishment and judgment on those who have rejected Him. I cut a few things out of my notes here this morning. But the challenge that I would like to leave with you is, how are you handling your tests? The testing that you face in, that you're facing in life, is the testing of your faith proving that it is genuine and showing that you can be counted as worthy? And I don't think that for any of us that our faith in God has reached perfection. And often as I face testing in my life, it shows me areas where my faith is weak and where I need to grow in my faith in God. And it challenges me. And so as I face difficult circumstances, can I rest when life seems out of control? Can I yield control of the difficult situations completely to Him and just rest in Him, knowing that He cares, in a faith in a God that cares? And I talked about peace earlier, that peace, true peace, is there even in the difficult times. And I found it in my own life that for me, faith and peace seems to be linked very closely. And it's as I yield the control of my life, my demand for control, and there are things in my life that feel out of control and that are out of my control, that I can't prevent and I can't direct. But as I am willing to give up that control and say, God, I surrender to Your plan, whatever that might be, that's when I can experience His peace. Even though my situations may be far from what I would desire or what I would ask, but yet, as I rest in Him and say, God, it's Yours, I don't know, I can't change it. It's where I'm at. I just surrender it to You. That's where my anxiety, I begin to lose my anxiety, and I can rest in God. Often I find that my anxiousness is caused by either wrong perceptions that I have about God that don't allow me to fully trust Him, or it's an unwillingness in my part to surrender my situation in life to Him and allow Him to do whatever He wants with my life. God tests us with difficult circumstances, but I believe that He also tests us with prosperity. And history would seem to show that people of faith have handled persecution better than they've handled prosperity. And I believe that prosperity is actually a test of my faith as well. To see how important my faith is to me, am I going to prioritize my faith, or am I going to prioritize my things? One of them is going to shape my values and is going to reveal how strong and how valuable my faith is to me. Am I willing to lay aside my things and answer the call of God in my life, whatever that might be? Am I willing to make my faith the most valuable and important thing in my life? That I'm willing to follow that no matter what sacrifice it might mean. Do I believe that God is worth, and that my faith is worth any sacrifice? And do I believe that one day my sacrifice will be rewarded far beyond what was actually given up? I'd like to close with paraphrasing these last two verses in this chapter. I'm paraphrasing it from the NIV, and I'm taking Paul's words and making it mine for us and for you here this morning. It says this, "With this in mind, I pray for us as a church family here at Wilmersdorf that our God may count us worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may fulfill every good purpose of ours and every act prompted by our faith. I pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in us and us in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's my prayer for us this morning, that that we as a church family, in all we do, that we could bring glory to God and honor to His name. And I pray that in the next months, and I'm not sure how much of my interaction will be here with being away and stuff, but I just pray God's special blessing on your life as you faithfully follow Him, no matter where that may take you through life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank You for the grace and the peace that You give. And Father, I pray that our faith would grow, and that as You test us, as You allow testing of our faith, that our faith could be shown to be genuine, and that it could be what directs in our life, and that that could be the anchor that keeps us, even through the tough times. And Father, I pray that as we follow You, that You give us the grace to be counted worthy, to be faithful to You through whatever life and our journey in life might hold. So that in the end, when You come again, that we could be to Your praise and to Your honor and to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.